All right, welcome to Against All Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you live, yes, live, with heel producer Jim Cunningham, along with my wizards of wagering, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, Darren the Parlay Kid, Harry, and Brother Bry, affectionately known as the Degenerate Trifecta. How are you guys?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal, what's up?
What's going on, buddy?
Well, we have a lot going on. We're taping this on a Tuesday morning, and we're not even out of week five of the NFL. There's a game tonight because the Titans don't know how to behave. So now they are playing on Tuesday. That will be the last game of week five. Monday night, we're going to recap that. Brother Bry, I do not even want to look, but you had anywhere from 4 to 8 stimulus checks on this game. You had the Saints money line on everything. Now, the Saints were favored by 7. They didn't come close to covering. They weren't really ever going to cover that game. And they were down 20-3. I know you had the money line. I know you did hedge +7.5. My God, though, I could tell by the text it was a lot riding on this and that.
That's the thing, right? I gave that out for a best bet too last week. I had it on a teaser, so I had the Saints like -1.5, but I didn't have it money line. I actually had them on teaser, so I had -1.5 and I had -0.5. So then I was like, I'll hedge this. I'll see if I can middle it a little bit. So I took the Chargers +7.5, but towards the end of the game, once it went into overtime, I was like, holy shit, I have so many. I kept live betting the Chargers on the money line. And I was like, oh my God, if this ends in a tie, I am going to lose every bet. And then I'm not going to cover on the other side with the Chargers. So I was starting to get so nervous there that the Chargers were going to kick a field goal. And I was just going to get so fucked. But I lucked out. Man. I ended up winning almost all of my bets, though.
Saints win. That was great. Yeah, you middled it. That's the way to do it. It took a bunch of years off your life, but you got it through. You won it. Yes, we are. And listen, I agree. That's a great win. But as great as it is to brag about your wins, it's even more fun to complain. It's time to mourn our losses in a segment we hate to call Bet Aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bad ache. It's a bad ache. It's a bad ache.
All right, yes, a lot of losses this weekend. A lot of college. I think we're going to start with the college. But bet ache segment is brought to you by our friends at PropSwap. Parlay Kid, start us off. I think I kind of have the same aching feeling as you do on Saturdays. Tell me what your bet ache is of the week.
Yeah, my bet ache this week is it's very simple. It just comes down to college football betting, and I just don't think you can bet it right now safely or responsibly, especially if you're like me and you like to parlay things, right? There's no way you can hit like 3 or 4 of these games when you have no idea what's happening in any of the games, right? So you don't know if guys are out because of the COVID testing. You don't know. I don't even know sometimes, are there fans or are there not fans? Are there 5,000 fans or are there 30,000 fans? I don't really know what's going on. There's just too much going on in that world right now. And it's a shame because in a few weeks from now, baseball will be over and, you know, NBA's over, hockey's over. And you're kind of relying on this football season to carry us through here.
Yeah.
And I think Saturdays are out for me right now. I don't think I could bet football games, at least confidently. I have no confidence in betting a football game. So that's my bet. College football is a mess right now from all aspects, especially the wagering aspect.
Right.
And so that's my bet ache for this week. So.
I agree. I don't maybe, you know, the Big Ten comes back soon. Maybe that changes things. Maybe it doesn't. But just take the SEC for a while. The one thing you can rely on. And by the way, they have fans now. They are going to try to back Florida with 90,000. That stadium, unbelievable. The coach wants that. But there's no defense in the SEC. There's no defense. I had LSU on every single money line parlay. The only defense that was played all weekend long in the SEC was that stop at the goal line, which is, this could be the worst defense of a national championship ever. I get it. Joe Burrow isn't there. But my God, Ed Orgeron's team gives up 40 a game. I guess I got a little fooled because Vanderbilt is just so bad that LSU beat up on them. And I'm like, all right, they're back to normal. Nope, nothing's back to normal. The SEC certainly is not back to normal. Brother Brian, what's your bet?
I will say I had LSU on 7 parlays. It's funny. I look up and I'm like, holy shit, how many times? Like, I forget sometimes because I'm putting in bets throughout the week. But yeah, I'm going to stick with SEC football. So on Saturday, I was getting killed after LSU. So I was like, fuck it. I'm watching the Auburn-Arkansas game. Arkansas ended the first half pretty well. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to jump on Arkansas. They were actually plus 850. I think they were down, they were down, what, 9.5 or something. But they were plus 850 to win the game. So I take that. They take the lead with 5 minutes left. Auburn misses a field goal, but they get the ball back. Now, I don't know if you guys, I know Sal, you saw it, but the Bo Nix, yeah. he tries to spike the ball. He fumbles the snap and then he spikes it. So you're not allowed to spike that, but he spikes it backwards. It's definitely a fumble. Arkansas should have recovered. It should have been Arkansas's ball. I should have won a plus 850 bet. They rule it intentional grounding, and then Auburn ends up kicking the field goal. Now, the crazy thing in that is the officials came out after the game and said, well, it should have been ruled a fumble, but there was no clear recovery by either team. And I was like, wait, what? The Arkansas guy jumped on the ball. How could they have said that? So Arkansas got screwed. I got screwed. I mean, I have so many bet aches, but it's become, I think I bet literally every game. So now it's like anytime there's a bet ache, it's, I have.
Is that it? Just you saying that's intentional grounding. That's so silly. Like anytime you try to spike the ball, it's intentional grounding, right? There's nothing more intentional. There's exactly. No grounding more right. intentional than when you try to spike it. So, okay. So we fumbled the snap a little. So it changes things. I don't know. Yes. SEC. Oh my God. The SEC. I can't stand it. All right, Harry. All right. Let's hear it. What's your
bet? Well, I had LSU money line too. And you knew that was going to be a loser when Missouri kept scoring too. Keeping up with LSU, just had a bad feeling. But anyways, my bet ache is on Sunday, I had a 10-team parlay going. 10-team parlay with 6 NASCAR matchups with 4 NBA player props. 10-teamer, 9 are in. I've got Jay Crowder at minus 250 to just come at over a half of turnover. All I need is one turnover from Crowder. At minus 250, he plays only 28 minutes because Miami gets blown out. I don't get the turnover, and I lose. And I'm watching that, and it's just like, I know that, you know that's going to happen. We've discussed this before, where if it's a blowout, these players come out, and this is what happened, and I lose the 10-team parlay. Everything else hit.
Sal, you know...
That was a fishy parlay. That was a fishy parlay.
Yeah, Harry, what are you doing there?
He had Elliott. When can you parlay one guy like 4 times in a parlay? Like he had, he sent it to me. I don't know how he pulled it off, but he literally had Elliott over Truex, Elliott over
Keselowski,
Elliott over for this parlay. So it was fitting that he didn't end up.
I don't think
that
you
parlay.
Can do this, Harry. Harry, you can't make up bet aches. Just pass if you don't have a bet ache. Just Sal, pass. I mean, all right, you don't have to.
You know, Sal, you know how much money he had on that bet?
$1.50.
$11.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, we did see that. Yeah, it was $11.
It's still, yeah, but the parlay above that was 28.
Harry's disqualified from bet aches moving forward. There we go. all right, there you go. Bet aches, that is brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Find the best odds on MLB and NFL futures by going to PropSwap.com. This week on PropSwap, Packer Super Bowl tickets sold at 15-1 odds, 15-1 when every local book had it at only 10-1. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. Now, I bought a ticket off PropSwap last week. Did someone have this? One of you guys is in our futures that the Giants wouldn't win until week.
I gave that out at like plus 750 on the when we did those when we did our picks. I gave that out the Redskins.
It was week six,
yeah, it was
right?
Plus 750 on FanDuel when we gave it up.
All right. Well, I didn't get as good as odds as plus 750 last week, but I did buy it. There you go. I posted the ticket on Twitter, and now I look to cash. I think the Giants are the only thing that has to happen is the freaking Giants have to win. and they are favored to win. I'm going to keep. I'll take some offers, though. I have the Giants ticket basically to win week six. They're minus three, but I'm having I have odds in my favor, so that's good. Thanks to PropSwap. For a limited time, our listeners can get up to $500 in bonus cash. Just use the promo code ODDS. That's promo code ODDS, and PropSwap will match your first deposit up to $500. Don't delay. Go to PropSwap.com right now or download the PropSwap app. And that was Bet Aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
Un mal di scommessa.
Yeah. All right. All right. So we had two real bet aches and Harry made up one. So there we go. We can move forward now. By the way, someone who should, God damn, I should have had him call in. I guess it's a fella, right? Jim Cunningham, your friend runs a pool. What is it? Is it a confidence pool where you assign a number to 1 through 15 or 1 through 16 for each? What is the pool? That's what it is.
Right.
It's a confidence pool.
Yep, it was a confidence pool, a confidence pick'em pool. It was a $35 buy-in. My friend Paul Ross, my old college roommate, running it. And the degenerate trifecta joined, as well as Michael Zaccoli. And Harry paid with, Harry, what did you use? Food stamps?
Money order is better than a check. Money order is better than a check.
Harry paid with a money order, but where was it from? What did he do? What was this?
Western Union.
It was from a grocery
Union.
Store.
Said Western Union.
Oh, from a grocery store.
Western Union. It said Western Union, but it was a money order from a grocery store.
Listen,
it's as good as cash. You can cash that immediately. Check, you got to wait a day or two.
So you waited in line at a Western Union. Fine, it's at a grocery store. But you're this poor bastard that's running a pool. So now you could use this to buy produce? Here, get some radishes. I don't understand. No.
$35? $35, a money order. What's the big deal? It's the same thing as a check. Better than a check.
Okay, let's go around because Harry is
by the way, Jim,
like 1982.
Out of the four of us that are in it, Jim's in last out of the four, by the way.
Okay. You're in last because this shouldn't even count as an entry. This is Chase Elliott on six legs of a parlay. Let's all go around and go over other ways, more acceptable ways to pay $35 to someone you don't know. Brian,
yeah,
let's
well,
start
I would,
with you.
Nowadays, I would definitely Venmo. That would be my
okay, guy. Venmo. All right, Parlay Kid, what would you say?
How about just a regular check if you had to? Like,
personal
with your name
check?
On it. Like, yeah, okay. Personal check.
Again,
right?
Okay. Money orders are Come better on. Than a check.
I mean, even that is a little outdated, but still.
Right. All right, I'm going to say PayPal. I'm going to say PayPal. So we have Venmo, we have personal check, we have PayPal. Jim, you have any thoughts on this?
Better than a money order? Pennies, stamps, whatever, baseball cards.
So now this guy's got a money order. He's got a Western Union telegram. What the fuck? What is it? There it is right there.
Did I spell Ross right?
He sent me a fucking money order.
That's the greatest. We're gonna have to post that.
Sal, do you know anybody, Harry, who's ever used Western Union?
It's not Western Union. That's well, just the com-
it said
well,
Western,
it
we
is.
Just saw Western Union. We just saw another thing. It, yeah.
Try to use beads, blankets.
So now he has to deal with the money order company.
No,
it isn't like checking.
He puts it in his bank account.
He's got to go to a bad
he puts
it
in his
cash
bank
it.
Account.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it at all, Harry.
Harry tried to buy him a bond. That would be good
Sal,
for money
didn't we pay
Hodder
our bookie back in 1992 with money
yes.
orders?
Yes, back in 92, we did a
exactly.
lot of things. We walked to school. We had
ago.
To scream. We didn't have cell
I'm,
phones.
I'm old school,
we did a lot
man.
Of things,
I'm old school.
Things have changed. Well, but you're putting someone out. Do you have a bank account? You have a bank account, right? A
little bit in there. Yeah, there's a little bit in there, I guess.
Do you really not have? No, honestly.
Of course
do you have
I
a bank,
do.
Do you have like a checking account? So why don't you link up to Venmo or PayPal or anything that anyone's been doing for the last 15 years? My God. My last experience with Western Union is when I used to bet through the offshores and I'd owe somebody and they'd give you a number and you had to pay. You had to go and write a Western Union check out to someone in Antigua and a fictional person, a fictional company. And it's like, oh my God, I got to get my life together here. This is craziness. Please, someone come up with PayPal.
I was going to say the last bet that was paid through Western Union was Ted Williams winning a triple crown or something.
Ted Williams is laughing at this.
I have Western Union money to myself off credit cards back in 92 in the casinos in Vegas. But I mean, other than that.
92. Jim had a great line. Harry's like, last time I checked, this was as good as money. And Jim's like, when was the last time you checked? 1985. Oh my God. All right. So this, what is he doing with it? Did he get to cash it, Jim, or did you follow up?
No, he said he thinks he's just going to frame it. Eat the $35 and frame it because it's the most insane thing he's ever seen. Plus, he's afraid to
that gets the big duh, Jim. Yeah, right. That gets the big duh.
Should we auction this off or something like that? Should we just buy it back and just auction it off?
Yeah, let's have your poor Paul Ross. Let him make some money off of this. My God. Yeah, maybe. Bri, did you make the joke that maybe we put it on prop
swap?
Yeah, we
can definitely do that.
I don't know what it's worth. All right, we got a lot to get to. We have, we're going to go 7 NFL games. I'm sorry. I couldn't pick 3, so I picked 7. Who the hell knows if they're going to play anyway. We're going to go over NBA 2021 odds. We're going to hit Georgia, Bama. We're going to take a ride on the Riverboat Casino, and then these guys will get out of here with some Shark Tank, some best bets. Who won last week? Bri, you won your parlay,
right? Yeah, I won
mine. And Darren, you won, right?
Yeah, I won. I hit mine as well.
Yeah, and Harry, what? That makes you that
Miami
means you
of
lost.
Florida.
That's right, Miami of Florida. Very, very lucky to even be in that that first half ending.
Yeah.
I will say this. Brother Bri is on fire. These guys make free picks on extrapoints.com. And Brother Bri, just give us the numbers. I think we're going to jinx it right now. You've won 7
well,
in
yeah,
a row?
Starting on Saturday. So then I've come to the point where I can't pick 1 or 2. So now I've been doing like 3 a day. So I did 3 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, 1
Sunday,
yesterday. So
one
they
yesterday.
All hit. I've had like multiple like plus 350s in there. So I know, again, we don't go by this, but if you were able to parlay those, it was like 700-1 for the last 3 days, those picks.
Wow.
So pretty good.
Wow.
Pretty good.
That's insanity. And today, like I said, extrapoints.com, these guys all have their free picks. Bri, since you're 7-0, tell everybody what you
I
have.
I have John Smith for the Titans scoring a touchdown at plus 130. That's my pick for it.
Anytime
touchdown.
Anytime touchdown.
Yep, plus 130.
Right? Yeah. That's right. All right. Okay, let's get to these games. Like I said, we are not out of week 5 yet. Buffalo at Tennessee. Tennessee hasn't played in months and months and months. 3.5. The Bills are favored by 3.5. The over-under is 51.5. 2 undefeateds here, right? Am I missing something?
No.
They're both undefeated. I don't know what to think of this Tennessee team. I haven't seen them in forever. I don't know who's showing up to practices. The facility's been on lockdown forever. I'm taking Buffalo. I think I'm not going to analyze it too much. I like them 3.5. You're going to dig in a little deeper.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Bills first half minus 2.5. Look, it seems like the Titans haven't played since 2019, but the facility's been open, close, open, close. I think it'll take some time for them to get going. Meanwhile, the Bills have been a great first half team. They've led by 18-7, 18-4 at the half. They've covered the spread in all 4 first halves. So I like the Bills offense to come out fast again. I don't mind laying that 2.5. I think they'll take an early lead here.
I like that. I like that a lot. Like I said, the Titans screwed everything up for me. Everything. There's no Thursday night game as a result. My comedy bit is killed. Thursday, we were probably going to get off from Fox Bet Live because Fox wouldn't have run the football game against the Dodgers at the same time. Oh, just good job, Titans. I don't know. We've talked about it on with Simmons and not many other podcasts, but they need to start forfeiting some of these teams. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. This is a good one all of a sudden. 3 teams in the AFC North seems to be the division to beat. have four wins. Cleveland, Pittsburgh, two of them. Of course, Baltimore also has four wins. Pittsburgh, only a 3.5-point favorite. 51 is the over-under. Harry, you are staying away from the side. You're going total here. Bad blood between these teams. Remember last year with Mason Rudolph and what's your guy, Bri? Why did I forget his name?
The Miles Garrett.
Miles Garrett. Yeah, that's good for player of the year. Harry, you like the over here.
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, this Cleveland team, it's a juggernaut on offense. Last 4 weeks, the lowest the Browns have scored in a game is 32. In those four games, they have 18 touchdowns. 18. We're talking about the Cleveland Browns here. And that's without Nick Chubb, who went down in the Dallas game. They've still been awesome. Kareem Hunt is averaging 6 yards a carry. He's filling in great. Beckham's finally happy. They did sign right tackle Jack Conklin for $42 million from Tennessee in the offseason, paying dividends on the offensive line already. And Pittsburgh, Big Ben's got 10 touchdowns, just one pick. The lowest Pittsburgh scored all year is 26 points. And how about rookie Chase Claypool last week? Four touchdowns. I mean, what a weapon he's got now and that he didn't think he had. Now he does. Big Ben does. He's got five touchdowns for the year. I just think this game flies over because Cleveland can't be stopped on offense, and Pittsburgh will keep up too.
First Canadian to score four touchdowns in a game, Chase Claypool. Yeah, my problem with the Steelers is, and this is dumb to say, but they don't really have an identity. You don't know. Like, Chase Claypool bailed them out. They have like a crazy run in there. It's something. And Connor is, I think Connor only had like 10 carries for 30 something yards. It's not like they're eating you up on the ground or doing it with their front seven. But I do think they'll have enough. Maybe Cleveland wins in Cleveland. Pittsburgh has fans. I think they win. I think they cover. I don't think it's going to be as high scoring. I think, you know, there's some faulty numbers. I get it. Beckham's come to life. Landry's come to life for that offense. It's more fun to watch, a little more consistent. But they did it against the Cowboys last week. I don't know if it was a good indicator what they did, the Colts. I'm going to take Pittsburgh. I think it's more like 24-14. Back to smash mouth AFC North football. Pittsburgh laying the points. Parlay kid, Baltimore at Philly. Baltimore favored by 7.5 on the road, 46.5 according to FanDuel. That's the over under. We both like Philly here. I think as Cowboys fans, we know it's not going to be this easy to win the division with the Giants and the Washington team looking. They're on the outside looking in. Philly really seems to be the only team to have a shot at the Cowboys here, who are also miserable. But we're hoping for 7-8-1, I think, out of Philly, and then 8-8 out of the Cowboys. That said, I think Baltimore takes care of business against the crappy teams. I don't know that they cover 7.5 on the road at Philly. You agree with me?
I agree with you, Sal. Watching, you know, I have Lamar Jackson as my fantasy quarterback, so I keep a close eye on their games. I thought the Bengals had a pretty good game plan this week against Lamar Jackson. He didn't run the ball at all. I don't know. He was sick during the week, so maybe that factored into it. But at the same time, we know how Philly plays. Philly's a tough team. I did have Pittsburgh to cover the spread against them last week, which they did. But Philly is always game, especially at home. They will they'll play whatever style you want to play. You can't really name a receiver on their offense. Miles Sanders had a good game the other day. I have a feeling Philly just keeps this close. They hang around. I think the Ravens win this game, but I think 7.5 for a tough-nosed Philly team is just a little too much. So let's take the points there and ride with Philly.
I agree. Not a ton of traveling there. Philly's defense, they'll keep Lamar Jackson honest. I think they have like 15 sacks in three games or something crazy. So they're right up there.
Right.
And Wentz, you know, Wentz could – like I said, I mean, he makes a new who's this, Fulgham now? Like, so now they have like, you know, they'll have breakout receivers and whatever come along. He makes every tight end look good too. So I am going with you, Philly. Now this is the game of the week. Green Bay at Tampa Bay. Green Bay Packers favored by 2.5. 54 is the over under. I think Green Bay is the best team in the NFC.
Yep.
Brother Bri. People might want to look to the Saints or, I don't even know. I guess the Rams. Who else is in that conversation anymore? Green Bay's got it all. They're coming off a bye. Didn't like what I saw out of Tampa last week. Forgetting when it was fourth down, leaving the field thinking he had another down. I think just Green Bay is more complete. And if they need to win by a field goal, at Tampa. I think.
Yeah, I agree. So let's say first, this is, I think, the third meeting, right, between Brady and Rodgers. It's amazing that they haven't played each other more. And let me say, thank God, though, this game is at 4 o'clock, because the only other game at 4 o'clock next week or this Sunday is the Jets Dolphins. I still don't know.
Yeah,
well, I don't know what the NFL is doing. Like, why can't they guarantee us four 4 p.m. games? At least on that, like, multi-channel screen, I can watch four games. I mean, it's terrible.
Right.
So at least we have this game, though. But I'm not really sure how good the Bucs are. It's hard to tell. They're better on defense than expected. I think they're worse on offense. We know the Packers are good. They're coming off a bye week. They've outscored their opponents by 13 a game. I don't see how they stop the Packers enough, and I think the Packers will get enough pressure on Brady to limit their offense. So I think the Bucs opened as a favorite, right, too, here? So, which that
for a
half a second. But I like the Packers -2.5 here. I'm definitely taking this one.
Limited fans, and Aaron Rodgers is a master at the cadence and getting the defense to jump off sides when, you know, when they're not screaming, when you don't have 90,000 screaming fans opposing you. He's going to get this Tampa team to jump off three times. They're so undisciplined. They had 113 penalties last year. They had over 100 yards last week, I believe, in penalties. And look for that a couple of times. He's going to be able to name his play, I think, on some of these. Parlay Kid, Rams at 49ers. Another one that's 3.5. The Rams are favored by 3.5. The over-under is 50.5. This is the Sunday night game. I don't know why I'm taking the 49ers here, but I just don't think that they could just be this bad week after week after week. I mean, there is not a worse game on the ledger than at home losing to the Dolphins. They were never, ever in the game. Like, how are you not in the game at home against the Dolphins? And they weren't after the second quarter. But you're going Rams. It seems safe.
Yeah, you know, I like what you're saying, though. You can't sometimes judge these teams by one game.
Right.
But we have to also realize the 49ers have two wins this year, both against the Jets and the Giants.
Right.
So this is not a good football team. I know there's injuries, but my gosh, everybody has injuries. They seem to, at least on the offensive side of the ball, get a lot of players back for that Dolphin game.
Yeah.
And they just looked way out of sorts. So I know what you're saying. Like, you kind of think that Shanahan will get this team to kind of rebound and play better. But conversely speaking, I think the Rams, and Brian was on this last week, the Rams might be the most balanced team in that West, which at first we thought, you know, was such a great division, but every team has holes in that division. So I think the Rams might be the most balanced. Again, that being said, all four of their wins have come against the NFC East.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, well, who have they beaten, the Rams, right? And they could have lost to the Cowboys week one as well. But I think Rams seem to be pretty healthy on both sides of the ball, which is a big factor right now. McVay has found, you know, he seems to found like an identity for his offense. A lot of play action back, going to that play action stuff with Goff. I think they win this game. I think they're just a better team right now than the 49ers. And 49ers keep it close, but I think, 27-20, something in that area for this game.
Yeah, how about that? The Rams 4-0 against the NFC East. They're going to have probably more wins than at least one team in the NFC East just overall, right? In that, against the NFC East. It's craziness. Yeah, Pauly Kid, it's funny. The one they lost, the one you didn't mention, is against the Bills, and that might have been the best game they played, at least the second half of that game.
That's right.
So, but that's the only one you could point to. I don't know. I think San Francisco, I don't even know how they do it, but I think they cover. I'm going to take the 3.5.
Can I just jump in here quick? Yeah. Since we're talking about the Rams, I brought this up yesterday. You know, Aaron Donald's still on FanDuel, Defensive Player of the Year. 4-1 still. 4-1.
Is it
still
4-1? You said it was plus 750 last week.
4-1 though, still. I feel like it shouldn't it be like plus 150 at this point?
Watts numbers are good. Watts
Garrett's
number
good.
One.
No, Donald's one, Garrett's two. And
Donald still leads in sacks at 7.5.
Yeah, Garrett's been great too, and Watts been great, but I don't know. When you watch Donald, it's just like I don't know.
It should be more of a when you watch Donald, when you watch this one race, because he's in on every single play, and maybe he doesn't. He had the numbers last week, had 4 tackles and 4 sacks, but sometimes he'll have like 2 tackles and 0.5 sacks, and it's like, well, that guy, he's still dominating. What the hell? What are we doing here? He should be. Oh, I love that for play of the year. It's so funny. I was looking at him for MVP, and I'm like, oh, yeah, of course he's not mentioned with Russell Wilson and Josh Allen and all these guys, Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. But then I forgot all about defensive player of the year. All right, Harry, Arizona. There you go, right in your backyard at Dallas. This is Monday night. One of, I'm guessing, six Monday night games this week. Now, Arizona favored by 2.5. Obviously, we know what happened there with Dak Prescott being out for the year. I would have liked to have talked to the parlay kid about this, but Harry snatched this game up within minutes. He sent me a money order, and he's like, I want Arizona, Dallas. This is what I want to do. By the way, Harry, the money order thing, is that so nobody traces it back to you? Is that part of it? I would understand it a little more
I was out of checks. I'm waiting on checks. Uh-huh. So a money and I was late paying his Jim's friend anyways. So I just said, you know, because mm-hmm. I didn't have my stuff with me while I was in California. So when I went back to Phoenix, I realized that I still needed checks. I was waiting on them. So I just got a money order.
All right. I just asked one question. I'm sorry. Jim, do you want to apologize? Just apologize to Harry so we can move on from this.
I'm taking the Cardinals. I'm going to lay the 2.5 here. I know the Cardinals had lost 2 in a row, but what a better way to stop a losing streak than getting to play the Jets. Murray put up almost 400 yards of passing. DeAndre Hopkins leads the NFL in receiving yards. Dak going down, obviously, it's devastating for the Cowboys. Still, Dallas is 30th in yards against defensively. They made the Giants look good. Giants scored 34 again. Giants hadn't put up that many points all season combined. I just don't think they'll be able to stop Kyler Murray, especially on third down when he scrambles. He's going to, on third down, he'll run for the first down, and they're just going to be able to outscore the Red Rifle and Andy Dalton and the Cowboys, and Cardinals win this thing by definitely more than 3.
All right. I kind of agree with you. I hate this. I don't like this situation. I don't want to go up against a quarterback like this. I'm going to take the over 54 every week on Fox Bet Live. I'm like, I like the over in the Cowboys game. Like, well, that's okay, but can you pick it? Because we want you to go first in the Cowboys topic. And if you're just going to take the over on that, I'm like, I'm giving out a winner every week. I'm giving out the over in the Cowboys game. Who cares? Why do I have to analyze how bad their defense is for 40 seconds and then pick a team? Like, I don't know. It's going to come down to the last drive. So I'll go over here. Parlay Kid, I just want to pull you in for a minute. We're going to have trouble against Kyler Murray, right? It's going to be a little Russell Wilson. I wasn't that impressed with Arizona. I know he hooked up with Hopkins late, but took them a while to actually win that game. I guess every road win's good. But.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, we've seen teams come in to Cowboys stadium there and have their way with that defense, even though there's a little bit of a crowd there. So you think that might help the Cowboys a little bit. But, Murray scares the heck out of me. He almost scares me more than almost any other quarterback that the Cowboys could be playing just because of the way their defense is playing. I could see even if their defense maybe, you know, for one particular play does what they're supposed to do, Murray can still make something out of nothing and, scamper for 20, 25, 30 yards.
Right.
And I could just see that happening all day this week. I'm very worried about this game. Very pessimistic about this one. I agree with both of you on this. Yeah. I just don't know if they can keep up, if they're going to be able to keep up with the scoring that Arizona is going to do.
Yeah. Well, Brian, what's the over-under going to be on Kyler Murray rushing yards?
It's been about like, 44. Yeah. 44. Probably around there.
That's high. I don't know. That might be all right. He really could run for 4 first downs. That's going to be interesting. I'd rather not play this game. I don't know what happens here. So many injuries on that offensive line, and yet so many deep threats. And obviously, it's great that Dalton's going to be working with the first team and won't botch snaps and stuff like that. But don't feel confident about this. All right, Parley Kid, right back to you. Next Monday, KC at Buffalo. This was supposed to happen Thursday. This is going to happen Monday. We have not seen Buffalo play this week. We're doing this Tuesday morning. It's hard to find a line on here. I did search. I found 3.5 Kansas City favored. Is this just going to be one of those things where we wait for them to be pissed off at a loss? And
KC, I think that's exactly what it is here. I think, you know, we're gonna talk about the shorter Buffalo week now, right? So Buffalo's going to have the shorter week. We do. I think we all agree that Buffalo gets a win over the Titans. And yep. I think the Chiefs, a little angry after a bad loss to the Raiders. I don't know. Their offense kind of fell apart in the second half. And it's kind of like, I forget who was doing the game now, but they were kind of saying how the defense almost seemed like, don't worry, the offense is going to bail us out today again. And that didn't happen this time. So I think Andy Reid refocuses his team. I think the Bills, they're going to be due for a loss too, right? So
yep.
I think especially if the Bills win tonight, I definitely really think the Chiefs then win. They get a little revenge game for them in terms of after coming off a loss. So I do like them. Yeah, 3.5, I don't know. You think, I don't know if that will be 3.5, though. I could see it more being 2.5, maybe.
Yeah, I saw it open to 3.5. It'll probably, it all depends on tonight's game.
Tonight, I think a lot. Right, exactly.
They'll probably hover around 3. But yeah,
take the Chiefs. Take the Chiefs in that one. They bounce back.
Yeah, I like Andy Reid in that spot too. If Buffalo could, that offensive line has a Barley kid. Have you ever heard of a guard tearing two tendons in both knees and left on one play, a left and a right knee? Kansas City. Going through a lot of crap right now with that offensive line, but we know how that ends. Hey, FanDuel. I promise FanDuel did not put me in charge of the sports book for a day. If they were wise, they would. But these same game parlays definitely look like something we would do. Brother Bri, you would love to do this. All of us. Thank you, FanDuel. Same game parlays. This is a gambling gift. So many different combinations you could play with these parlays. Player props, point totals, money lines. I love it. Just thinking about it, best part is FanDuel will refund the first same game parlay you lose on any NFL game each week up to $10. Means you could bet a different parlay risk-free every NFL week all season long. Free money. Are you kidding me? It's like, and that's free money. That's not even like in Western Union. You just get it credited right back to your account. Same game parlay. What does it mean? Brother Brian, what did you have? Janu Smith to score? You could do that. You could do Tannehill over 14 rushing yards. You could put that with, Josh Allen over 248 passing yards, whatever it is. You put it all together. You could have all Chase Elliott on there, Harry, I think.
Can you do it with over 1.5 money orders?
Yes, you could do over half one more. Chase Elliott, will he kiss his wife on the way out to the track? Which bathroom will he use? Everything. Monday Night Football. Thursday night football, Sunday games. Take all those picks, make your own. Go ahead, bet it. You'll get $10 back if you don't win. You do this all season long. Join up with FanDuel.com/against all odds. FanDuel.com/against all odds. If you already have an account, you are good to go. Same game parlays, risk-free, all NFL season long. FanDuel Sportsbook app, and use the promo code against all odds when you sign up. All right, NBA guys. Well, it's over. I think we're all kind of glad it's over, right? I think Parlay Kid, although Parlay Kid, you picked the winner. You had Miami in six. Sorry, you had the Lakers in six.
Lakers in six.
Someone else had Miami in six. I think it was Bill Simmons, but you had Lakers in six. What did that pay?
+320, Sal. So pretty it was a good. Nice win right there. If you had that. So, and I know you had LeBron for MVP at -165, which
love
was
that.
Gold.
Love that.
That was gold. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That was a tuition bet right there.
I didn't see the final. Do you ever get the final tally on the votes for MVP? I didn't see it, but I imagine there wasn't much resistance to
LeBron. And let's make sure we mention Harry had the Heat because he wanted to take bows for having Toronto last year, right?
Right.
So if you want to take bows for that, then if you're going to go take the Heat because, do you think people are going to forget? It's all right. We didn't expect the Heat to win, but you picked the Heat and they lost. So you got to take some Heat for that. That's for sure.
Injuries, Darren. Injuries.
Nah, no one's beating that Lakers team. We saw how they played defense. By the way, I would love to see Harry take a bow. I don't think he can take a bow. Is he able to take a bow? Anyway, the 2021 odds are up. Why not? No one knows when they're going to play these games. They're talking about late January. I know they want fans in the seats, so they're going to wait as long as they can. Talk is that they want to be done, wrapped up by the Olympics, which is in July. So can't really start later than late January. I think it's going to be a shortened season anyway, right? If they're going to do that, I haven't figured it out. I don't think they could play a full 80 games anyway. Lakers plus 370 to repeat. The Clippers plus 450. Milwaukee 6-1. Nets and Golden State Warriors 11-1. Boston 12-1. The Heat are 15-1. And the Raptors are 16-1. I can go on with the Denvers and the Dallases and teams like that. Let's start with you, Harry. You whiffed this year. Come back with a winner for 2020.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Golden State Warriors, like you just mentioned, Sal, at 11-1. Steph Curry back, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. Listen, they also have the number two pick in the draft. Why wouldn't they? One thing they've been lacking, and Draymond Green needs help down low, get a big man. They have the number two pick. Grab that James Wiseman from Memphis. When he played last year for Memphis, he got 20 and 11. He had three blocks a game, 77% from the field. They got Andrew Wiggins, who they're paying $27 million to, who's shown flashes and stuff. Get him off the bench. Kevon Looney is still on there too. Help him too. Nets Warriors for the championship. Kevin Durant versus Golden State. Why not?
I mean, this Wiseman. When the hell did he play? He played. It'll have been 2 years, right? But, by the time
Last year, I mean, when he was playing for Memphis, he was dominant. And again, 77% from the field, and that's what they've been lacking down low. And Draymond, Draymond needs help.
That was like he played like three games, didn't he?
Yeah, but he was also the number one pick as of right at during that point too. He's like minus 175 to be the first pick in the NBA draft.
All right. They might not even get him. So I'm sorry. But 11-1 odds. No, it's going to be great. It's Parlay Kid. I know you like the Nets as fun or whatever about this 2020 season. And LeBron, he did it for Kobe. There's a lot of great storylines. We get Durant back. We get Curry back. Pretty exciting stuff, right? In the NBA, Kyrie Irving might play. Who the hell knows? But you like the Nets.
Yeah, look, this is a talent based league, right? So the teams with the most talent win the most games, right? So I think the Nets in the East right now, just with these guys coming back, have the most talent. And Durant has had extra time to rest now, right? So he should be completely healthy at this point. I think the only thing that could screw up this Nets team is Kyrie. Seriously. He's like the, you know, it depends on what, you know, if he wants to play, how hard he wants to play, what his attitude's going to be like. If he could keep himself in check and just play basketball, I think this team is going to be super tough to beat. They have pieces like the big man Allen right there, Jared Allen. He's a young up-and-coming player as well. LeVert isn't. I mean, if he's your third or fourth best player, that's fantastic. I think Dinwiddie is going to be gone from this team, which might be, as far as the Nets go, might be an addition by subtraction, just because there's not going to be enough of the ball to go around anyway. If they could re-sign Joe Harris, that is going to be a very big piece for the Nets, because he might be the best shooter. He's like maybe even a he shoots as well as Robinson on the Heat, and he just might be a better overall player than Robinson. So if the Nets can get him back in the fold, I really like this. But even if not, I like them with those 11-1 odds.
Yeah. All right. That's a good one. Brother Bri, isn't it, you know, you could throw all these numbers out. I think this is why you don't take the Lakers, you don't take the Clippers, you don't take Milwaukee at the low odds, because Giannis could end up on any of these other teams we talk about, and some of them that were not, so like the Sixers and stuff. But Giannis changes this whole thing, obviously, if he goes anywhere. Do you see him going to the East or the West? Do you see him going to the Celtics?
I think he'll stay. I actually would probably put a little bit of money on the Bucks at 6-1, but it's hard to, like, for the Lakers at plus 370. I mean, again, those are good odds, but it's like Anthony Davis. Can he even? Can he stay healthy? Is the question. Like, if you guarantee Anthony Davis is playing in the playoffs next year, I would say the plus 370 is really good value for that. But I do like Boston at 12-1. Now, the reason I'm saying Boston is because I think they have the most upside to get incrementally better with what they already have. So I wouldn't be shocked if all of a sudden Tatum is like a top 5 or 6 player next year. He's probably already maybe top 10. When you watch Jaylen Brown, sometimes he's the best player on the floor. He could be a top 15 guy. Those two guys are only 22 and 23 years old. So if they take another step forward, they're going to be tough to beat. Then you throw in a healthy Hayward, although he'll never be healthy, I guess. Smart is still only 26. They have the 14th pick in the draft, so, and they have like two other first-round picks, I think, so they could easily take that and trade it for another decent player to bring in. So at 12-1, you know, we're used to seeing Lakers, Celtics, Lakers, Celtics. So we saw Lakers. Why not Celtics now?
Yeah. All right. That's a good one. I'm going to say the Miami Heat parlay kid. Why not at 15-1? I don't think they're a team that could maybe get the top seed, top two seeds, top three seeds, but they're not afraid of anyone. That's for sure. I don't think it was flukish the way they tore through the East and made it to the finals and competed. Harry was right. They had a lot of injuries, but you know, in a way, this is Jimmy Butler's kind of running out of time, right? And Pat Riley might see that. I think he adds a piece. I'm not saying they're going to get Giannis, but if they add, I was reading like someone like Oladipo, who's a good shooter, just hasn't found himself back in Indiana since he's returned from injury. Could be good. You could be looking at them, you know, at 15-1. That is not bad at all. So, all right. So I'm going to say Heat 15-1. Harry, Golden State 11-1. Brother Bryce, Celtics 12-1. And the Parlay Kid, Nets. 11-1. Good mid-range odds there. Now let's move on to college football. Georgia, Alabama, this freaking FCC. 6.5. Alabama's favored. 57.5 is the over-under. Brother Bry, you're paying close attention to this. I saw Georgia at like 12-1 to win the whole thing. I would hate to have an SEC team, but that's not bad, right?
I think Clemson and Georgia, I think Clemson and Ohio State are the two best teams. And then you have these two are the next. But I do like Georgia 6.5. I thought this line would be more 4 or 5. And if it was 4 or 5, I might have taken Bama here, but 6.5 seems high. Look, Georgia and Clemson seem to be the only teams in college football that play any type of defense. They're probably not going to shut down Bama, but they can at least get some stops. Now, I don't know what's happened to Alabama's defense in the last 2 years. Usually they can replace these guys they lose in the draft. They haven't been able to. Their defense was embarrassing the other day against Ole Miss. I think Georgia, though, will try and slow this game down. They'll probably do enough on offense, depending on what Bama is doing. If Bama's scoring, then I think Georgia will score enough to keep this close. But I get the sense this is going to be like a... I don't know. It's not. I don't think this is going to be as big of a shootout as we might be expecting.
All right. I'm going to go over because I don't think I get Georgia plays defense in the second half of games. But you know what? Maybe I'll go over first half because that seems to be when Georgia wakes up at halftime. Harry, you like Georgia for the game?
Over. Yeah, I like the game over here. I mean, I look, Bama over 700 yards of offense versus Lane Kiffin. But again, like Brian said, the defense was pathetic. Gave up 48 points to Ole Miss. Najee Harris is a stud. He had 250 yards, 5 touchdowns. Alabama in the last 2 games, 66 points and 111 points in their game. Stetson Bennett's been just fine for Georgia, 5 touchdowns, no picks. The running back, Zeus, Zamir White, has been great too. And Georgia's actually scoring 36 a game so far this season too. I think this is going to be a shootout in the South between the hedges. I think this is like a game where it lands even maybe in the low 70s.
All right. Harry, are you reading off your typewriter or is it off your physical map?
My map.
I'm making jokes. Harry's stuck in the time warp. He's wearing a Walkman right now. All right. Hey, that's going to be a good game. That's Saturday night. Let's go now to our Riverboat Casino. Yes. Each week, the Degenerate Trifecta and I, we set sail tackling pretend propositions and we make them real. We make them come to life. Alex Smith, the big story. Some people say he won comeback player of the year already just by stepping on the field. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think that's fair to Stephen Guskowski just yet. I think he has to play a little more. But no, like, Cam, Stafford, Ben, I think that will have something to say about that. But still, an incredible effort by Alex Smith. The problem is everyone saw that documentary, and now, like, you can't just root for Alex Smith to play. You got to be like, oh, I don't want him to play. I love him. Just stay off. You know, it's like, so really mixed emotions there, obviously mixed emotions from his family, but it got us thinking who is the greatest individual sports comeback of all time? Is it Alex Smith at 2-1, Mario Lemieux at 7-2, Tiger Woods 5-1, Rocky Balboa, pick your movie, 15-1, or the field at 3-2. All right, Parlay Kid, start us off.
Yeah, so at first I was thinking about Tiger Woods because I think when we first started this podcast three and a half years ago, I think Tiger came up in a conversation about what his odds would be if he ever won another tournament again. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, we all almost were like, yeah, he's never winning another one again. Right. And then about a year later, he resurfaced. He had a great comeback. But so I think all those choices are great. I'm going to take the field. And even though this really had nothing to do maybe with injury, but just George Foreman making a comeback at the age of 45 years old to share, at least get a certain one of the belts there by defeating Michael Moore and then fighting for several more years at a very high level is quite incredible. Three of us here are not far removed from 45 years old. Mm. And can you imagine fighting for the world championship at heavyweight at that age and doing so pretty convincingly? Well, Harry's the only one who would make that weight class, by the way, right now.
Harry,
so
Harry with the fold older arms, that defense.
For now,
like right
for now. Give it some time for now.
Harry's threatening us that he's going to lose weight. I don't know. Every other day we hear a big threat from Harry. All right.
So George Foreman's my pick. Take the field. It was a great comeback. Great
it
comeback.
Was.
Unbelievable story. A great story back in the mid-90s.
Oh, yeah. Great story. I lost a ton of money on Michael Moore, who I think was probably up like 7-3 going into the 11th. And then he just caught one of those patented George Foreman jabs, like just sledgehammers, and he folded.
He had so much power at that age.
Yeah, he really did. And even fought Holyfield, like, you know, Holyfield, like he held his own against Holyfield, who was a warrior back then and in the prime of his career. All right, Parlay Kid goes with George Foreman. Harry,
I'm gonna go hockey here, Parlay Kid. I'm gonna take the Sabres goalie from 1989, Clint Malarchuk. You can still see this. You can still find this on YouTube. 1989, like I said. A freak injury, a freak accident in the game between the Blues, where he got his throat slit by Steve Tutt of the Blues. I mean, gushing blood. It was beyond disgusting. Worst thing probably ever seen in sports. And the doctors, you know, told him to take the season off. Four days later, hockey guys are tough, right, D? I mean, they're unbelievable. Four days later, no doubt. He was back on the ice. And he would have died.
I was almost going to take. He almost took Clint Malarchuk. I looked at that. I'm Harry. I'm surprised you didn't say the Western Union Telegram is going to make the biggest comeback. All right, brother Bry, what's yours for greatest sports comeback?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the field here. Hopefully Jim doesn't have this one, but I'm going to say Roy Munson from Kingpin, best comeback. He was on his way to stardom as a bowler. He won the state bowling championship, but had his hand cut off, if you guys remember, because they won some money off some guys.
Yeah.
They even had they termed that phrase that Munsoned because, you know, he had all this stardom waiting to happen and then he just blew it. But he didn't bowl for 20 years. And then he entered the Reno National Bowling Championship with a rubber hand and he lost to Ernie McCracken in the finals. So, yeah, Alex Smith's story is great, but Roy Munson was probably the first one.
Where can people catch this documentary, Brian? It sounds pretty fascinating.
It was crazy.
All right, Roy Munson. I'm gonna go with Rocky, but not the Rocky on the sheet here at 15-1. I'm going Rocky Blyer in the field. I mean, this guy, American hero, Vietnam vet, took a bullet to the leg, and then at the same time or shortly after, a grenade exploded by him. He had all this shrapnel. Sulfur lace shrapnel on his leg. Doctor said, yeah, maybe you walk again, but you could forget about playing football. I think he had like something like 7 carries or 10 carries for the Steelers in 68. Goes to Vietnam. All this terrible shit happens to him. He gets help. He actually like crawls through a rice paddy, actually gets help. He gets the surgery. Like I said, they said, you're not going to play football ever again. Well, he did. He pulled out 4 rings and a Purple Heart. 4.2 yards per carry, 23 touchdowns over 10 years. Rocky Blyer, greatest comeback, individual comeback by an individual in sports. All right, Jim Cunningham, what do you have to add to this?
I was thinking Michael Jordan, when he came out of retirement, to win 3 more finals championships. Mm-hmm. But then I actually prefer Macho Man Randy Savage when he loses at WrestleMania 7 to the Ultimate Warrior, who made a huge comeback after Macho Man dropped five elbows on him. And it was a retirement match. Macho Man forced into retirement and then comes out of retirement to win the WWF Championship at WrestleMania 8 from Ric Flair.
Wow. There you go. That's amazing. Shit. Now I feel stupid about going with Rocky Wire. All right. You were right about Michael Jordan, too. Comes back from a crippling gambling problem and dominates the league again. Joel Solomon, do you have anything to add here?
I mean, these are all pretty good, but I'm going to go off the board field. Carson Palmer, anybody that can play with the Bengals that long and retires and then has it in him to come back after just being moralized playing in Cincinnati, that's good enough for me.
To play in
Forget
Oakland.
About Carson Palmer. He's another one.
And he that's came back right. to play in Oakland, and he went
That's right. Oh, yeah. Brian. He was your favorite, Brian. Brian, was he your favorite Raiders quarterback?
God, I hated that because we gave up, two first-round picks for him, too, and he hadn't even been playing. Jason Campbell, maybe the best quarterback Raiders had. In that 10-year stretch. No, Rich Gannon, though, by far.
That's... Marinovich.
Oh, Gannon, I guess. Yes, Gannon. Gannon
by far.
Super Bowl.
Marinovich,
Marinovich, they paid in the Western Union. All right, enough of the Western Union. I'm sorry. I can't get it out of my head. I can't believe
maybe they could sponsor the program, Sal. Maybe get them in.
Dude, they should sponsor this.
That's it.
All right. That's the Riverboat Casino. I know, Harry. It's demoralizing.
I think Western Union is the sponsor of the money order, but it's still the same thing as a check. I just don't understand how you guys don't get it.
Do you understand how we don't understand how you don't get it?
I sort of get that, but not fully.
10 different ways, 10 easier ways for... I mean, I guess the only way to look at this is, Jim, ask your friends how he's been paid over the... How many years has he been doing this?
I don't know. Couple?
Yeah, all right. And so he's... How many people are in this pool?
I think 40, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, so 40. If he's done it a couple years, he's had about 100 people pay him, right? 100 different payments. And this is the first time he's received... Yes. Yeah, All right, you're a one percenter, Harry. I always said that about you. All right, Harry, start us off. Shark Tank. Best bet, you're all going to give me one. I'm going to pick one. I'm going to ride it, and we're going to win. We're going to go 3 for 3.
All right, I am off of college football, like Parlay Kid said right now. Definitely off of college football. I'm going to do a 2-team, 7-point teaser from the NFL. Again, we went over the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game. Sally said it was 51. I really like the over, so teasing it down to over 44. Cleveland can't be stopped. Like I said, they're scoring at will, 32 points or more in 4 straight games, and Pittsburgh can score too. So over 44 in this game, and I'm going to tease it with the Dolphins -8 against the Jets. Tease it down to -1. Dolphins have looked pretty good. They've been in every game this year. They were great against San Fran this past week. Fitzpatrick looked good, and the Jets have lost every single game this year by 9 points or more. Dolphins, just basically to win the game, got to win by 2 or more. Dolphins -1, Cleveland, Pittsburgh over 44, 7-point teaser.
All right. That seems normal enough. Parlay Kid, what do you like?
Yeah, this is a tough week in the NFL, if you really look at it. There's no, if you're making an elimination pick or a suicide pick, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, don't worry. None of these games are going to happen. So don't give it too much thought.
Can you imagine? let's hope.
I know.
So I'm taking a 2-team money line parlay. I hit with the Browns last week at +124. That seemed like it was just a weird line the whole week. And the Browns came through for me. So got kind of going a little unconventional here with the teams I'm picking. I'm going to be taking the Panthers at -154 over the Bears. Brother Brian and I think both have the Panthers to go over in their wins this year. So I was expecting them to be better than people thought. Bridgewater's played very well. The Bears are very overrated 4-1 team. I don't even know if they're overrated. They're just not a very good 4-1 team. If Tampa doesn't fumble that ball right before half last week, I don't think there's any way the Bears win that game. They caught a break. I think Carolina wins this game. They're pretty good on both sides of the ball so far this year. And, Sal, I'm at -148. I'm taking the Giants to beat the Redskins this week. I know you need them. I know you need the Giants to win this game.
I do.
I think that
Harry's got the, hat on.
I think, look, Dallas is the first offense to give the Giants, to give their defense some fits. Their defense is pretty good. I think we're going to see their defense kind of shut down the Redskins. I still like Daniel Jones. I think he's a good young quarterback. He turns it over a little bit too much. But the Redskins just seem like that whole quarterback move with Haskins still doesn't make sense to me. I don't know what happened there. It must have been something more like inside the locker room that went down that we don't know about. Allen, is he even playing? Is Haskins back? Is Smith starting? What's happening this week? So let's ride with the Giants at -148. Add those two games up. It's +176.
All right.
So kind of different for me to take those two teams, but that's who I'm riding with this week.
Giants, Panthers, two-team money line parlay pays +176. Parlay kid, you said the R word three times. I don't know. That
has oh my gosh, I did.
It does.
Three times.
And you also said Haskins three times. I don't know if you're allowed to say Haskins either. I'm not sure any of the skins can be mentioned. All right, Brother Bry, what's your best bet?
Well, Harry and I did not coordinate this too well because we went over all these football games, but I too have a two-team teaser. It'll be a six-point teaser, but I do have the Dolphins on there. God damn it, Harry. I have them. So just take the parlay kit at this point. So I have the Dolphins down to two. Again, I just think at this point in time, until the Jets can prove that they can beat anybody, I would just ride whoever they're playing. So Dolphins down to two. And I actually like teasing the Cowboys up to 8.5. I think they're going to get back to running the ball. Dalton will make enough plays. I think the Cowboys defense will realize they need to play a little bit better. I do think they keep this close. I can't imagine it's going to be so easy to be like, oh my God, we missed Dak so much and the Cowboys are now terrible. I think there's going to be a little bit of controversy here where it's like, oh, Dalton's not that bad. We're okay. We're not in a bad spot. So, so Dolphins minus two, Cowboys plus eight teaser.
Why do you have to lay two and Harry lays one?
Well, he got the seven, right? You're taking the 7 points?
I did a 7 point tease.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did seven. I'm sorry. Yeah. I missed that.
So,
okay.
You know, he's
Western Union right. Hooks me up with a point.
So just take the parlay, kid.
It's the Western Union extra pay for extra pay. All right. Harry, I think I said 24-14 Steelers. I don't think I like the over 44 there. I know. You're playing last week's
I'm playing 4 weeks momentum with Cleveland. Look at this offense.
I know. Right.
But yeah, the only thing with that Cleveland game is you had that stretch, the defensive touchdown and the kickoff return that got them over that and back to back. So
Cleveland against Dallas had 307 yards rushing without a guy rushing for 100 yards. That's amazing.
Right. Yeah, forget Dallas, forget their defense. I'm saying forget their defense, but I think Paulie kid, I think you're right about everything. The Giants should win, the Panthers should win, but the Bears. Forget overrated. It's almost definitely that they're not indicative of a 4-1 team, but they might just be the don't F with us team this year, gambling wise. So, Brother Brian, I'm going to go with you. We'll live and die. We'll go through this Monday night, and I'm sure that'll be, because we're setting ourselves up for an automatic bed ache.
Sure. I mean, I've teased the Cowboys every damn week, and it's been like a heart attack every time, and they cost me a ton 2 weeks ago. If they lost this past weekend, forget it. I wouldn't even be here today.
Good. All right. I love it. All right. Dolphins minus two. Cowboys plus 8.5. Parlay kid, what do you got going on?
I'm at the Chalk Talker. Just doing my thing. And by the way, Sal, Harry didn't even watch football this weekend. I don't know if you knew that. He did not watch football on Sunday. Not 1 minute of football. Just so everybody out here knows.
Really?
He can explain it. But the bottom line is he didn't. I think that should be upsetting to all of us.
It is. Really. Everything he does is upsetting. What happened, Harry? There was an accident.
There was an accident, right? And I was a good boyfriend. I had my girlfriend come out this weekend. We were in Newport Beach. And the night on...
Come out. Where the hell are you?
I know. Right. Where am I? Right. And she fell and hurt her ankle, and she thought she broke something. So in the morning, I was all set, ready to watch football in the hotel. And then She wanted to go to the quick care. So we went to the quick care for 2-3 hours and then had to bring her to the airport. I had to get a wheelchair for her. So and the whole thing, then I had to go back to Southern California to where I'm staying. So it just took all day long and I didn't get to watch. I'm watching on my phone, but and, you know, I can't even, I don't know. It was one of those things where I just did the right thing, I guess.
That's where. Guys, though, if that happened, if you have a girlfriend, if you're not married, if that happened, that's where you just break up with them at that point in time.
Yeah, well, you're going to break up with
someone.
Now she's got
surgery going on Thursday, so I'm got. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
no.
So.
Really? It's
no,
that bad?
No, something
what
different. Herniated disc in her neck. So that's going to be a hole. So, you know, hopefully everything obviously goes real well. God. So, but Thursday that's happening. So got another long week. I'm missing football on Thursday again. So, whatever, if there's college, at least I'm missing football on Thursday.
There's not really football Thursday. I know what you're saying, but I think there's Wednesday, Friday. But Brian pointed out, like, you at least you had the wherewithal to set her up with the biggest pillow known to man for that hospital visit, which you could add to her many conditions. She must have had a hernia just having that on her lap, rolling around for
she
hours
brought that the, she brought lobby. That from Phoenix.
Okay, that's her lucky Phoenix pillow. All right, Harry, anything else to add?
AO Harry, go to bestbetcorner.com, check out my other picks. Parlay Kid's going to be on this week. We'll have a podcast, so it should be fun.
There you go. Brother Bry
at the Brother Bry. Right? Yeah, like we talked about earlier, had some good extra point picks, so check those out. I don't think Harry, yeah. I think, is 1-20 in his last 21. He probably didn't mention it.
Wow. Well, he doesn't watch the games. How's he supposed
ice cold.
To
but we'll say we didn't get even chance to talk about it. Some great fights this weekend. The biggest fight of the year by far is the Lomachenko-Lopez fight. So Lomachenko is like a -400 favorite. I'll definitely have Lomachenko parlayed with some things. I think I have Lomachenko parlayed with Khabib the following week. But what I would look at when the odds come out is maybe Lomachenko to win, like maybe in the 10th, 11th, 12th. They're late, maybe by stoppage late. Maybe.
Really?
I think there's. Right. I think you'll get some decent odds with that. Lopez is phenomenal. I just, the quality of opponents is a little bit different. So.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking 8-4 somewhere. Yeah, in
yeah,
there,
no,
but
that's
yeah, maybe
yeah no, that's
something.
Good too. And then also you have for UFC, there's Korean Zombies fighting Brian Ortega. Ooh. So another that fight's going to be phenomenal. So a lot of good fights. So a lot of stuff still going on.
Yeah. All right. Good times. And you're at the Brother Bry. Jim Cunningham, the eyes are ones, for God's sakes. Right?
Yes, sir. At Jim Cunningham, and the eyes are ones.
All right. And if you enjoyed today's program, send us $3. We'll only accept via Western Union. Jim, you can give your address. They'll send it to you.
My Venmo is this.
You can deal
Jim
with cash. Hey, check out Laugh Lines tomorrow. We have extra points. It's me. It's Charlotte Wilder. It's Dave Damashek. And then you got the Lemon Pepper guys. You got Waiver Wired. What the hell am I missing, Jim? -3. I think that's all of them, right? That's enough. That's plenty. Extra points, rate, download, subscribe. Got a lot of good stuff coming up at you. I think next Thursday, God willing, if there's a game, I think we're going to break in and do a halftime segment. If you guys are around, you know, Harry, if you're not at the hospital or anything,
sounds
you can
good.
Join us.
Sounds good.
Yeah. We'll get some halftime bets. The -3 crew did it last night for Monday Night Football. All right. And that's it. Thanks for listening to Against All Odds for the Degenerate Trifecta. Jim Cunningham, Joel Solomon, Michael Cicoli. I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. Nah, nah, nah.